James chapter 1, we have been looking, this is our key verse and passage that we've been looking at each week and leading up as we're going through the series on foster care and adoption. Today I want you to think about the process. How can I personally get involved, all right? We've talked about some of the needs. We've talked about, you know, things that other people have done. But what are some ways that you and I as a member of the body of Christ and as a church can impact in our local city and community? And so we look at foster care and adoption. It's really, truly a picture of what the gospel is all about. And Jesus Christ ultimately came and made possible that we could be a part of the family of God and we could be adopted into his family. So I look at foster care and adoption as just a beautiful picture of the heart of Jesus. As we look at the heart of the gospel, what that's all about, over the last couple of weeks, our eyes have been open to the vast needs of foster kids and those in the foster system in our country and in our county. And this morning, I want you to think, if you're a child of God, we've been adopted into God's family. And I think as we look at that picture, it's a picture of how the gospel radically changes us. Because, folks, what happens is sometimes people think we don't have value, or maybe someone has a low self-esteem, or their home life has been traumatic. And it's easy for kids today and adults to sometimes have a low self-esteem or morale, and they're looking at, I don't have a whole lot to offer. Maybe they struggle and they have learning disabilities and things of that nature. But folks, when you look at who you are in Jesus Christ, the Word of God says that all of us were created in the image of God. He loves us, and he loves us so much he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. And there's something that each one of us can do to help meet the needs of those that are the least of these, that are vulnerable, most vulnerable in our city, in our county. In James chapter 1, it says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We talked about last week how the phrase to visit the orphan literally means to come alongside of them in their affliction. What happens is, as you see someone in need, if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan and the priest and the Levite, and they see someone in need and they pass on by on the other side because they're like, you know what, I'm too busy. I don't have time to deal with this. It's too much for me to take on myself. And they pass on by, and then there's ultimately the Samaritan who walks up, and folks, you would probably think this is the least likely person to get involved, and yet he saw someone in need and he made it his mission to be about meeting the needs of the vulnerable. So to visit the orphan literally means that we come alongside of them in their affliction. We allow them to know that they're not alone, that they are loved, that they are a child of God, that he cares about their needs, and we don't turn a blind eye to the needs of our city. We have a responsibility as a church not to neglect the needs of the least of these in our culture. That's our responsibility as a follower of Jesus. We've been adopted into the family of God. Psalm 82, verse 3 says, give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. A couple of statistics that we looked at on the large scale, we're going to be looking in a minute on our local scale, statistics of orphans in the 2019, 140 million orphans worldwide. And I'm telling you, that is staggering. When you think about cultures, there are many, many countries that don't even have close to that many residents or people, the residents of their country. 140 million orphans worldwide, 15 million have lost both parents. And then in the USA, 440,000 in foster care. 100,000 of those are available for adoption and looking for that forever family. So I want you to get a glimpse of what a child goes through when they're introduced into the foster care system. Because, folks, sometimes it's easy to get a mindset, you know, well, their families, you know, it's just a pattern of bad behavior. But, folks, they're in the foster care system at no fault of their own. It's not their fault that they're there. And yes, mom and dad may have made poor choices and decisions, but folks, those kids are, they need to feel the love of a family. They need to know that they matter. So I want you to, we're going to watch a video. It's called Removed. And I want to just, I'm going to say it up front before we get started. It's going to probably, you know, tug at your heart. But folks, that's the reality of what's happening every single day in our city, in our culture. And I'll be honest, whenever I watched this, it was impossible not for it to affect the way you feel. And as you look at it, I want you to realize this is people in Apex, North Carolina. These are people in Raleigh, North Carolina, in Fuquay, in Garner, in Anger. These are people in our community that are literally in need of a family to come along and support them and offer that hope and a helping hand in their time of need. So I want you to, as we watch the video today, just be thinking about what it is that we can do to help meet the need of these children within our county.
Sometimes someone hurts you so bad.
Do you? I don't think you understand.
It stops hurting at all. Until something makes you feel again. And then it all comes back. Every word, every hurt, every moment. How could you ever understand where I come from? Even if you ask, even if you listen, you do not really hear or see or feel. You don't remember my story. You haven't walked my path. You haven't seen what I've seen. Defines me. This is who I am. I am unseen, unheard, unwanted. That is what I am, if even I am anything. It seemed like the same thing that held me up forced me down. and the world turned upside down, and order disappeared. Nothing was how it was supposed to be. And a heavy sadness filled my soul. Deeper and deeper I fell within myself.
It's all fluffy and fuzzy.
And nothing could draw me out. Trapped in the misery of my life. Lost in the sorrow of my soul. Unable to see the light. Unable to see the dawn. To feel. To hope.
What are you doing picking my fruit?
To dream. And I found the darkest days of my life kept coming. The blackest nights for my soul never stopped. It seemed like it was always nighttime and nightmares and never morning. And maybe you wonder why, but mostly you try not to think about it, and try to get by, and try to survive. And all the other stuff seems so much like nothing, compared to just wanting the most important things back again. Like wishing you could see your mama smile again, and hear her sing that one favorite song that always calmed you down. When things were all messed up, or if you couldn't have her back, at least get to take care of your baby brother. Cause you know he needs you, and he's gonna be so scared all alone. And who's gonna hold his hand and whisper it'll be all right to him? And who will whisper it to me? I know I am helpless, dependent, desperate, but what happens when those you need the most threaten your very existence? I've heard plenty of promises, and they all sound the same. But push hard enough, and sooner or later, they all prove to be empty. The sun comes up every morning, but do you know where? Each place, it's somewhere different. It's hard to find east when you keep moving around. But at least it comes. It always comes. I've come to depend on that. And slowly, slowly seasons changed around me. And it seemed, this time, that maybe the world would not be pulled out from under me again. Feet safe, roots starting to grow, little buds of hope forming, slowly attempting to trust this new life.
Hi. Come on over. Let me show you what I got for you. Got you a gift.
Be alone. That I'll have a mommy who will hug me and be strong for me, because maybe I can't do it all by myself. This, my past, my history, my story, is not my fault. It's not because of me. And doesn't have to be what defines my future. I am lovable. I am worthy of care. And that glimmer of light, it makes all the difference. The glimmers of light give me hope that someday my summer will come.
All right. It's a small glimpse. I'm going to ask Ms. Sheila Alford if you'd come on up to the stage. I met her. I told you, Sheila, they've heard my story a few times over the last couple months. I told them, I said, you were the one who looked at me in the eye and said, Pastor, do you know how many churches are in Wake County? And I was unprepared for that question, but it was one of those that it really helped me get some focus on how we can make a difference here in our county and meet the need within our county and make an impact ultimately for the kingdom of God. And I thank you for being here. I asked her if she would just share some about what's going on in our county and ways that we as a church can partner with you guys to help meet that need and help change lives here in our county. Sheila, so you're good?
Thank you, Pastor. First of all, giving honor to God, who's truly first in our lives, to Pastor Fry, to his beautiful First Lady, Fry, to the entire Calvary Church family. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I love it. I love participation. I'm going to say good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I love it. On behalf of Wake County Human Services, Kim Adcock and I are here today, and we are so overjoyed. I'm sitting there with tears in my eyes because really, as I think about it, Pastor Fry and First Lady Fry have provided the first invitation to Wake County to actually come during morning worship service and give us this opportunity to speak to you about this very important ministry, foster care. So as I think about it, I said this to Pastor Fry when we met before, I really do think that God is calling him and First Lady and this church to lead this important work across Wake County. So I hope that you'll continue to pray and meditate on that, because we're counting on you. As I said, we are from social services. So when we think about social services, most of the time the community will say, well, taking care of children, that's the responsibility of social services. That's the responsibility of child welfare. And it is. But if you are a Christian, and I believe that everybody in here is a Christian, if you are, raise your hand. If you are a believer, raise your hand. So if you are a Christian, you know God's charge to Christians. It is to take care of our children who have been abused, who are neglected, and who are dependent. That is our responsibility. As we think about our work in Wake County, we go from church to church, from business to business, from civic group to civic group, and sometimes we go home frustrated because we come back to work and we still find that there are not enough foster homes for children in Wake County. And what I say as a Christian is we can do better than that. This is God's work. This is our work. And what we do unto these children, we do unto God. Amen? All right. Did you know, if you go to the internet, you will see that there are 17,000 plus churches in North Carolina? Yes, I'm going to repeat that. There are over 17,000 churches in North Carolina. If you do a little bit of research in Wake County, there's a church in every nook and every cranny. And if you add the faith groups to that number, there are over 2,000 churches and faith groups right here across Wake County. Did y'all know that? Yeah, there are over 2,000. The Bible tells us to defend the poor and the fatherless, to do justice to the afflicted and the needy in Psalms 82 and 3. He tells us, he goes on to say, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me, in Matthew 25 and 40. I think the kids in foster care qualify as the least of these. So if we do believe that God is charging us to take care of these children, why do we have so many children in Wake County foster care placed in homes outside of Wake County? That is something that I want everyone here to think about. And when Pastor and I talked about this, what we're saying today is we're not here to say that everyone is called to foster. Because if you've ever fostered before or if you've ever adopted, it is truly a ministry. Everybody is not called to do this important work, to be able to look past your needs and the immediate needs of your family and see the heart of a wounded child and to be able to pour into that child, to wound that broken heart. That is truly a call from God. Even though you may not be called to foster, you are called to do something. How many of you all believe you're called to do something? Amen. And that something could be a circle of support. There's always an opportunity to do something to support a family who has been called to foster and adopt. And you're going to get to hear a little bit about that a little bit later on today. So as we think about the data in Wake County, it's usually an eye-opener. And even though the numbers are going down, about maybe even a few years ago, there were over 800 kids in foster care just right here in Wake County. And even though the number is decreasing, it's still significant. Currently, we have 536 children in foster care. 536. So under the age of 13, that would be birth to age 12, we have 328 children in Wake County's foster care. We have 68 in the age group 13 to 15. We have 43 age 16, 28 age 17, and 69 18 and over. So we even have expanded foster care, because even when you turn 18, grown is not really grown. You just think you're grown. So we've recognized that those children, those young adults, still need support, love, encouragement, guidance, just like our own children. When you turn 18, were you ready to go out into the world and just make it all happen by yourself? How many? Raise your hand if that happened to be you. Yeah, most of us still needed some help. So we have kids signing themselves back in at age 18 saying, hey, I need a family to support me through college, through my first job, my first apartment. And see, we have 69 in that category. So when we think of foster care, most of the time we get applications that say we only want 0 to 2. That's the most favorite age category. I want a beautiful bouncing baby straight from the hospital. But what we say is, what we want you to pray and think about are the 39% of youth, 208, 13 to 21, who also need a loving home as well. When we think about the 536 children in foster care, we also want you to think about the fact that there are only 191 licensed foster homes through Wake County Human Services. You do the math. 536 youth, 191 homes. So what do you think happens to the children when they come into care and we do not have a home for them in Wake County? They end up being packed up, removed from their school, removed from their church, removed from their extracurricular activities, their friends, where they get their hair done. And they get put in a car, sort of like the children that you saw in the removed video, and they might get taken to Charlotte, Greensboro, sometimes even out of state. It just depends. As you think of that, you think about these children are the least of these. These are the children that God is calling us to help. So we went to a conference not too long ago, and we met Bishop Martin and his lovely lady, Donna Martin, the first lady of his church, in Possum Trot, Texas. Now, if you've ever been to Possum Trot, Texas, or if you have family or friends who live in Possum Trot, Texas, I want you to stand up, because we're going to give you a round of applause. Okay, so I hadn't heard of Possum Trot, Texas either. So Possum Trot, Texas is a small community, and Bishop Martin felt that his church was being led to do something. There was a problem in their community of children coming into foster care and not having a home. So he had a small church, but a big heart. So he didn't say, well, because we are a small church with not many members, there's nothing we can do. He said, no, he stood up and he charged his congregation to get involved. And this started back in 1998. And as a result of his outreach and ministry in the community, his church members adopted 77 children out of foster care. And that came just from one small church, one pastor with a vision, with a mission, and with the heart of God. So if Bishop Martin and Lady Donna Martin can do that in Possum Trot, Texas, I know God can move right here in Wake County, and he can do the same thing. What do y'all think? So at this point in time, I want you all to, again, continue to pray, meditate, reflect on what you've heard today. And as Pastor comes forward, Ms. Adcock is going to come forward, and they're going to lead us in a group activity.
All right. So I want you to take this piece of paper that you got. You came in the church building this morning. Talks about ways that we can get involved, and our activity is going to illustration is going to help you see this morning ways that each one of us can get involved. If you did not receive one of these, there's pictures on the back side. If you did not receive these, if you'd raise your hand real quick, we have a few extras they're going to bring around at this time to those that did not get it. Miss Kim Adcock is going to come. She's our licensing consultant, and we have got asked a couple of couples in our church, Brian and Sheila and Terrence and Tamara, if you would come on. They're going to come up and be a part of our illustration this morning. Miss Kim, if you would take over.
All right, good morning. Oh, you guys are going to do better than that. Good morning. All right. So as Mr. Fry was saying, I was their licensing worker, and I actually had the opportunity to license and work with Brian and Sheila Jacobson and Will as well. And I got to meet this fabulous family today, Terrence and Tamara. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little activity and show you what it's like from Wake County's end when we get children that come into foster care. And so I'm going to step over here so I can move around. I do training as well, so I'm not good at standing still in one spot. So, as Sheila was saying, when we have children come into care, they come into care because of abuse, neglect, or dependency. And so when a referral is made to our agency, it's screened by a supervisor and a worker. And if it's determined that those kids may need a placement, we look at the birth family first. We're going to ask that birth family, hey, do you have any grandparents, relatives, parents, neighbors, anyone you know that would be willing to bring that child into their home until the birth family is able to address whatever concerns they have. If they're unable to give us the name or family member, we have to look at the parents that we have licensed. So, if you will, I'm going to get you to role play with me as well. It's 10 o'clock at night. You're at home. You're in your bed and you're sleeping. Getting ready to come to church tomorrow morning. And we have kids that have come into care. Good morning, or good night. Is this Tamara?
Yes, it is.
Hey, this is Kim calling from Wake County Human Services. How are you doing? Oh, doing well. I was calling you because we had a sibling group of six children to come into foster care tonight. And I'm hoping you and Terrence will agree to take this placement. Six children, yes. You know, Wake County, we get some large sibling groups. So I'm calling to see if you guys would be willing to take the 4-year-old and the 5-year-old. There was a domestic violence situation tonight, and both parents, they're unable to give us the names of any family member or friends. So the 5-year-old and the 6-year-old, they're both energetic, so the parents say. They do well. They haven't had any medical care in the past couple years, so they're going to have quite a few needs. Would you guys be willing to accept the placement? Well, just two. I know you would love to take all six, but with the limited space, we'll ask you to take two of them. And I'm going to be calling around of foster families to see if they'll be willing to take them as well, the other kids. Actually, yes, I'm going to check and see, and they're actually right in your area. I'm going to call David and Tana and Brian and Sheila Jacobson to see about them taking the other siblings. So there's only one problem. We have one child who's 16, and I don't know that we're going to have placement here in Wake County, so he may be placed in Charlotte. So will you accept this placement?
Well, I have to talk to my husband. Don't bring another person to the house.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to call us back? I'm going to go ahead and call the Jacobsons.
Okay, great. I'll call you right back.
Okay. Which is often what happens. If we get families to answer in the middle of the night, they'll have to talk with their significant other.
It's really six, but there's two that really need placement.
We don't have support right now.
Hello, Miss Kim.
Oh, hello, Brian. I'm so glad you answered the phone at this hour. How are you? Back from vacation. God brought you guys back right on time because we got a placement.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes. Okay. So we have a child who is 2 years old. They're part of a sibling group of six.
Okay.
Now, I've already spoke with Tamara and Terrence Tippett. They attend your church. They're taking the five-year-old and the six-year-old.
All right.
But the two-year-old has some medical needs. They are failure to thrive, and so they're going to have a lot of medical needs. They'll be probably going back and forth to Charlotte, too, because they do have a provider out in Charlotte.
Okay. Boy, medical equipment. We don't have any. To help out, does this child have medical equipment?
Yeah, we'll get that. We'll make sure we bring that. Anything else? Would you guys need diapers or anything?
Yeah, let me talk to Sheila real quick. Honey, guess what?
We can take that 16-year-old.
There's a two-year-old, medically fragile, failure to thrive. Miss Kim's on the phone. She says she has the equipment, but I know.
Tell her God brought you back right on time. You're good. I'll take it. Yeah.
Hey, we came back right on time, right?
We have a crib.
But
just the medical equipment. If you can get the medical equipment.
Yeah, but we gave away all her diapers. We don't have any diapers.
Oh, diapers? Hold on one second. Let me see. Have any diapers and some other babies? You come on up, please. If you could bring come on up. We need your support.
Come on.
We need you. The pastor even said, "Come on up."
Come
Over
on
here,
down, Miss Sue.
Come on, bring them on up. Come on.
She can run to Target and get
family.
Some diapers.
Come on up, and I want you to just these two are going to stay together. And I want you to get on either side of them and place your hand on either side of them because you're going to be their support. Okay. So you guys, we will have a worker come out and bring.
All right, we're ready, Miss Kim.
They'll be there shortly. We still got two more to place. So let me call the Fry family, because I know they are so excited. They're definitely going to take this placement.
Do you have your phone?
Kim, you better be calling the right phone.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh. Well, we've
She's
already
calling me.
Yes, we have this phone.
Hey, Kim. Hey, I'm so glad you answered. Oh, hold on one second. Tamara's calling.
I cannot believe Kim called you.
Surprisingly, he said he'll take all six. However, we need some help. We don't have a crib for the two-year-old. We need diapers, we need clothes, and we would like some support with taking the kids to transport to the doctor's appointment.
Well, you're in luck, because the Jacobsons are going to take the youngest child, and I'm pretty sure that Pastor Fry and his wife, they're definitely going to take that 15-year-old, so you're good. But if we get you some support for the 5- and 6-year-old, you guys can definitely take the placement?
Definitely.
Okay, so I know those children, they do well in school, but they're probably going to need some tutoring. Do we have any teachers? Anybody a teacher? Oh, if you're a teacher and can help out with tutoring, please come on up. Please come on up and help this family. Oh, and this means your family is going to be growing pretty big, so you guys are going to need help with meals, right?
Yes, we will.
Do we have anybody that can help and maybe cook a meal for this family? I mean, they're taking in two children. This is, come on up here. Come on up if you could cook a meal for this family.
Oh, and date night.
Oh. And they're going to need a little rest. But anybody in here willing to babysit maybe for just a few hours?
Come on down.
Anybody? Come on up if you can help. Yes, come on up and help this family. Okay, well, we will have those kids to you in just a few moments. I'm about to call the fry so I can get this other child placed. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, hello?
Yes, hey, Kim.
Hey, oh, so glad you answered the phone. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Why in the world did you call David?
I forgot when I was doing your license, and I always said I was going to call you because this is the rational one. David says yes to all. He would say, "All have the whole home full." So, I'm so glad. Well, we have a sibling group of six. So two kids have been placed with, Terrence and Tamir from church. They're taking two children, and Brian and Sheila Jacobson, they just got back from vacation, but they got them a child too. So will you guys be interested and willing in taking the 15-year-old?
Well, since you called me, I'm going to have to talk to David, or he'd already said yes.
Oh, David will definitely say yes. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
So if you'll let me talk to David and just make sure we have room. But we are going out of town in the next couple weeks. We've got a wedding we've got to go to.
Okay.
But do you think we can find some help while I ask David if we can find some help to help us watch the foster child while we are on vacation?
Let's see. I'm pretty sure we can find. Would anybody be in here be willing to help for maybe a weekend while they go out of town with the 15-year-old?
My sister better stand. There went that video.
All right. All right, so we got you a support there.
Great.
So you guys would be willing to accept this placement?
Sure. Are there any challenges in school, or what are their struggles that they're dealing with?
So there are no challenges in school. He likes to play football.
Where's his football team at? Do you know?
At the local high school in your area.
Oh, okay.
Middle Creek.
Woo! Yes. All right. Yes.
Go Mustangs.
All right. So you guys will accept placement.
Absolutely.
Now, I got to tell you one other thing. So there is one older child, and we haven't been able to place through our agency, but that child will be placed in Charlotte. And that child, the oldest, is really parentified. That child is the one that's normally tucking in the 5- and 6-year-old at nighttime, helping them with dinner, helping get them dressed, ready for bed. And they also, that child does know all the routine and all that goes into providing for the medically fragile child. So the younger kids, they're all going to really depend on this child. So you're going to have to do some good shared parenting. We'll find out who that foster parent is in Charlotte, and we'll connect you with them so we can meet the needs of all of these kids. And I know, are there any things that you guys are going to need besides care for the weekend when you're out of town?
You know what? A date night would be nice. So maybe somebody who's willing to help watch the kids for us every once in a while. Or I tell you what, a meal would be really good.
A meal
would be great.
All right. Tina wants a break from that too. So right. Anybody willing to cook a meal for the Fry family?
For a family of seven?
Everyone's
like, oh, here
no
we go. We
way.
Have another support. Anybody else out here?
Everybody else is cooking for us.
There we go. Thank you. Oh, we have another support on over here. Come on up.
Oh, Miss Danny.
Oh, yeah, Miss Danny.
She's from New Orleans. She's a great cook.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So as you can see, not everyone may be called to foster, but fostering does take a lot of support. And we think that you can get that right here from your church family.
That's awesome.
Do you guys
All right, you guys can be seated. Thank you so much.
And thank you for all of the supports that stepped up. And we will be having an information session here at Calvary on October the 2nd, which is two Wednesdays,
yep,
at 6:30. So if you would like to learn more about becoming a foster parent, how you can become a foster parent, we would love for you to come out and meet with us here at Calvary, October 2nd at 6:30. Or if you want to call, we have a number for you, 919-212-7474. Because we know that foster parent recruitment is everybody's business. And thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. So you see there's ways that everybody can get involved, and that's what our goal is and our desire is, that you see today that, you know, you may not be called to foster yourself or maybe even to potentially adopt one day, but everybody can have a part in the process and making a difference. So if you would like more information on the handout, you'll see some of the areas that you can get involved. Number one, if you want to sign up for that meeting, you can fill out that card right at the very bottom and tear it off, turn it in at the welcome desk, or turn it in next week whenever you come back to church next Sunday in the offering plate. But you can also support some of the other families within our own church that are helping already step up to do those type of things. And then at the least, everybody can do is pray. And that's one of the things, you know, prayer changes things. And each one of these, the goal is that these families could one day be reunified. And so to be able to come alongside of them and support them, you know, there's something that all of us can do in that process. And thank you for being here today. We are excited just to talk about the opportunities, the needs, and see what we can do as a church to help minister and meet the needs of those that are most vulnerable in our city, in our county. Let's go to Lord in prayer as we close this morning and thank Him for our time together. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege of coming out to Your house today. Lord, You have certainly given us so much to think about, Lord, as we've looked at Your Word, and Lord, just the challenge for us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, Lord, to minister to the least of those in our society and in our culture. Lord, I pray that we would step up to the plate as Christians, Lord, and help meet that need. Lord, I believe there's people right here in our congregation that maybe have never taken that next step. Lord, that you're already speaking to them and you're talking to them. Lord, maybe they'll come out for that meeting on the second and learn more about the process and explore the opportunity if this is something that you would have them to do. Lord, I pray that each person would hear, would look at areas that we can step up and help minister to those who are in the trenches, that are meeting the needs and helping minister to those vulnerable children in our county, make a difference, and supporting them in ways that we can be a part of that process. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would leave here today maybe with a greater awareness. Lord, on the back of that paper, Lord, seeing the faces of those who are in the system and that are in need of someone to come alongside of them and support them and encouragement. May we pray for them and encourage them. Pray for those social workers. Pray for these families that are torn apart, God, that reunification could take place and healing and restoration could take place there. God, I pray if there's someone here today who's never placed their faith and trust in You for salvation, that, Lord, today they would understand the love of the Savior and experience that firsthand in their life. God, speak to our hearts this morning. We love You. Thank You for all You're going to do in Your precious name. Amen. Let's stand for our closing song this morning. If God is speaking to your heart and there's an opportunity.